You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Just peachy. Oh, just peachy.
Sean's being a real trooper, and he's not going to tell you guys, but he's a little under the weather, but he was like, got to do this. And by that, I mean, Sean, we got to record.
We do. Yeah. Paul's very persistent, and I like that about Paul.
It was really just one text message like, hey, you want to record? And he's like, yeah. That's our conversation. That was
the leg pull right there. Oh, God.
Oh, full text message?
That's my arm, man.
With proper pronunciation and grammar? Dang it, I have no choice now. But anyway, so we are back, and we wanted to do an episode a little bit more fun. I do believe, yeah, we had a good time with the Three Stooges episode, so we wanted to kind of look back on other movies that kind of, you know, captured a little bit of our childhood to a point. And the movie that Sean picked is it's a special movie to him because he's a special guy.
Special in a special sense.
Very special. But anyway, so we're jumping back to what year, Sean?
1996.
Some of our listeners not alive yet. Anywho, let's not discuss that. So in 1996, this movie dropped out, and it is one of only two director credits for this very particular actor who just America's sweetheart. Everybody loves this guy.
They do. Everybody does love him.
And that is Liv Tyler.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. That is actually Tom Hanks. And in 1996, is this his first or second film that he directed?
First
film that he ever directed. 1996 is That Thing You Do! Exclamation point.
That Thing You Do.
One movie, yes, with one of the catchiest singles, but I can't tell you any of the other songs from that movie.
I love all the songs. I can't remember the names of all the songs, but this is a very catchy soundtrack album. I was actually listening to it today on Spotify while I was working. And yeah, it was very interesting being in the middle of a supermarket and, you know, singing That Thing You Do. It's probably, you know.
I can see you like, I know you don't stock shelves particularly, but just like stocking shelves, like doing that thing. Yeah, I can
Pretty
see
much.
It.
Pretty
I can
much.
See it. What a view that would have been. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. Oh, but anyway. So we were about 10 when this movie rolled out. Just shy of. I don't remember it particularly well from when I was younger. It's a movie that I definitely saw when I was a little bit older and enjoyed a little bit more. What are your first memories with this movie?
I saw this in theaters, and this movie came out at like the perfect time for me because this is when I was just starting to get into the Beatles.
Oh, this movie's inspired by the Beatles? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this movie's a love letter to, you know, the 1960s. Americana and the whole one-hit wonder pop songs that were going on at that time. Tom Hanks is a well-known Beatles nut, so this was just, you know, his Nirvana. There's a lot of, I wouldn't say like, I guess you could say a lot of nods to the Beatles in this movie. Like, very, if you're a true Beatles fan, you'll recognize many of the things that, you know, happen in this movie that are nods to the whole Beatlemania.
Mostly the haircuts.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't think the haircuts are as bad.
No.
I mean, I don't know. But it's really captures that era very, very well. And it was, for me, yeah, it was just right at that time when I was just getting into the Beatles. The Beatles anthology had just come out. You know, I'd seen the movies Help and Hard Day's Night. So this was right up my alley. I love this movie.
So a little just behind the scenes stuff with it before we jump into the plot and the cast and all that. So it was released by 20th Century Fox on October 4th, 1996. So actually, it's almost the anniversary. Look at that.
Yeah, we're almost at, you know, we're two, We're 27 years. Yeah.
Wow. So, did you plan that, or did you just on a whim?
The funny thing is, when I said, maybe it's the 25th anniversary, that I can convince Paul to do it if it's the 25th anniversary. But I was like, no, it was 96.
It took nothing to convince me. It took nothing.
I never know with you. You've got your you know, things, and I got my things.
That you do? You got your things that you do? We're going to be making that joke a lot today in this episode, so we're going to apologize now. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be bad. Editing's going to be fun. I don't edit. But anyway, so October 4th, 1996, the original runtime is 108 minutes, but the extended cut is 148 minutes. Have you ever seen the extended cut of this movie?
I've seen deleted scenes. I've not seen the full movie in its extended cut. I would like to get this movie on Blu-ray if it has the director's cut on it. I have not. I actually don't own this movie, shockingly.
Really? You probably own the whole soundtrack, but not the movie.
I probably did own it when it was on VHS, but I don't know why. I've never gotten it on DVD, but that's definitely something I should probably look into.
Yep. Now, on a budget of $26 million, it pulled in $34.6 million, so it made more than its budget. That's always a good thing.
Budget.
It's definitely one of those movies that like a lot of people remember. And they, especially the song. The song is definitely it's got a great approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but you know, obviously different, you know, back then. And so
the song was nominated for Best Original Song at the Academy Awards that year. Didn't win though, but
darn. Oh man, Academy Awards, like the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad, man, really makes a big difference. But yeah, the extended edition DVD came out on May 8th, 2007. An additional 39 minutes of runtime, including deleted scenes. Most of them are devoted to character development. So apparently there was a more intense makeout session with Guy and Tina. Let's see. Guy's developing a relationship with Faye, which I'm going to talk about because that's the one thing in this movie that always fell flat for me completely.
Okay.
Him and Tina kind of breaking up. So it's a lot more character type stuff, which I'm fine with. And yeah. So before we jump into that, do you want to do the plot or do you want to do the cast first?
Which do you prefer, plot or cast first?
Let's go cast, because you can't talk about the plot without talking about the characters, and you can't talk about the characters without talking about the cast. That thing.
No, you've done cross-eyed.
No. I planned that out. Stop yelling at Timmy. But anyway.
All right, so I'll run through the cast for you right here.
Run it.
All right, sir. So we have Mr. Tom Everett Scott as Guy Skitch Patterson, the drummer for The Wonders. This was Tom Everett Scott's, I believe, first. If it wasn't his first movie, it was his first like starring role. Fun fact: it took Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks's wife, to get him cast because Tom Hanks felt he looked too much like him when he was younger, and he didn't want to cast him.
This was his first film, by the way.
Yeah, oh, it was his first film? Okay.
Yeah, it was this. You ready? That Thing You Do, An American Werewolf in Paris. One True Thing, and then one of my personal favorites, Dead Man on Campus.
Oh, that is a good.
I love Dead Man on Campus.
I have to watch that movie again. I have not seen that movie since probably you and me watched it.
I think I have it on DVD somewhere, but it is one of those movies that I love way more as like an adult. It makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
But, you know, and then, of course, you know, you got Mark Paul Gosselaar trying to not be Zach Morris for 14 minutes. What's even crazier is the plot synopsis for that movie is shorter than the plot synopsis for this movie. Holy crap. Anyway.
That makes sense.
All right, keep going.
All right. So we have Liv Tyler as Faye Dolan, who is the girlfriend of one of the other bandmates, Jimmy. I think she had done, this was like right after she really found out that she was Steven Tyler's daughter. Or not too long after, I think. Like she appeared in their music videos, and then I think she was in Empire Records, which I believe was before this. But I would say this was her real coming out movie for her.
She didn't know that she was Steve Tyler's daughter. I didn't know that.
Not for most of her life. I don't think he knew I want to say in her teens, if not, when it all came out that they were father and daughter.
Wow.
Jonathan Sage as James Jimmy Mattingly II. He's the lead singer and the guitarist. Steve Zahn, who, you know, this was his first starring role.
It was before he kind of went a little too far. Like he pulls a Rob Schneider at some point where he's really good as a supporting character, but then especially when he's rained down, like he was in White Lotus the first season.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and he was fantastic in it, and he was like really good. But then you watch what was the movie?
Saving Silverman.
You knew exactly what I was thinking. Wow, I actually really do enjoy that movie. It's so dumb, but it is. It was like at that perfect dumb era of our lives.
Yeah. I love that scene with Neil Diamond when he's driving and he goes, "Hey, we're coming to America."
And then the song starts playing. Yes, so good. All right, who else? Go.
Ethan Embry as TB player, the bass player. And again, Ethan Embry, he would be in a lot of things. He was in Can't Hardly Wait. He was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Mm-hmm. Vegas Vacation. So he's been another known face that we've seen since the late 90s that really got his start in this movie. Tom Hanks, who's also the director, he has a supporting role as Mr. White. He's basically the manager for the Wonders halfway through the movie.
Or the Oneaters.
We have Charlize Theron in her first ever movie role.
I always forget she's in this. Yeah, I always forget she plays Tina.
Fun fact, I believe it was some award for Tom Hanks. I don't know what it was. Was it like the governor's ball or something? And she presented it to him. And he even said in the speech he was giving, he was like, "I took one look at her and I knew she was going to be a star."
Ah.
So she's really spoke very highly of the fact that he gave her her first start. Bill Cobb says Del Paxton, a jazz pianist and Guy's favorite musician. Giovanni Ribisi as Chad, the original drummer.
He breaks his arm, yeah.
We know Giovanni Ribisi, Saving Private Ryan. He has fantastic role in that movie. He's been in a bunch of things. Ted.
He does the dance in Ted.
Dying the West.
Yeah. He does see, this is why we should do video, because I'm doing the dance right now, and only Sean can see.
But you got to get the full body into it.
Sitting, so.
And you got to have the drink that you're drinking, with the succulent sipping of the cup. There you go.
I did it. I hurt myself.
There's that really predatory dance move.
It's even better when he does A Million Ways to Die in the West. We should do the Ted movies and A Million Ways to Die in the West, like a super episode. That would be fun.
All right, I'm going to mispronounce this.
Yeah, you are.
Oba Babatunde as Lamar, the concierge of the hotel that they are staying in later on in the movie.
Well done.
He's really funny in this. I know he's been in a bunch of other things. I can't place everything he's been in, but he's very good, solid character actor. He has some really funny moments in this movie. Alex Rocco as Saul Siler, the founder of the Playtone record label. That's about it for the main cast, but we have a lot of cameos in this movie.
Yeah, I hit him.
Kevin Pollak as Victor Boss Vic Koslovich. He's like a concert promoter early on in the movie. Paul Feig or Feig. Feig?
Feig.
Kevin Feige, and it's Paul. I think it's Paul Feig.
I think it's Feig because there's no E at the end.
Okay. So at that time, he was still an actor. He was we know him from Heavyweights, and he went on to be a director. He does Bridesmaids. He did the Ghostbusters, the all-female version of the Ghostbusters. All right. Calm down.
You hear Leslie Jones have been talking so much crap about that movie recently?
Oh, yeah. She claimed she got paid nothing compared to Melissa McCarthy.
That always annoys me. Yes, your main cast, but I hate to say it, Melissa McCarthy has a lot of
Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig were the stars of that movie.
They have Leslie Jones doesn't show up till a third of the way in. That's like Ernie Hudson going, "Man, they should have paid me as much as Bill Murray." We love you, Ernie. We met you, Ernie. I have an autograph from you somewhere. But come on. I'm sorry.
We got Clint Howard as disc jockey. Peter Scolari, who the former castmate of Tom Hanks in the classic 80s sitcom Bosom Buddies. He plays Troy Chesterfield, the host of the Hollywood Television Showcase. Bryan Cranston.
What?
Plays the astronaut Gus Grissom during a scene during that same Hollywood Television Showcase. Mark McClure, who we all know as the older brother of Marty McFly or Jimmy Olsen. He is the director of that. And then we got a few others. Jonathan Demme, the famous Academy Award-winning director of Silence of the Lambs. He's directing the Beach Party movie that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Rita Wilson, who we mentioned. Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, is the guy who escorts Liv Tyler up the stairs at the... And then we have Howie Long, who actually was cut out of the theatrical release. He plays the driver slash partner of Tom Hanks's character, Mr. White.
Can you imagine? Like, I'd hate to be an actor. Like, yes, I'm sure they still get paid for it and they still get their credits for it. But like, imagine like putting in the work just to get your stuff cut out.
Yeah, I know. But it's, I mean, and it's, yeah, but I get that. Yeah, it's tough.
Oh, we didn't even mention in news. You hear that the writer's strike apparently created a tentative,
but we'll see.
They're happy with it.
They're already claiming all the late night shows are going to be coming back within the next like 2 weeks, SNL, all that stuff. But no word on the actor's strike, so to me, you know, we'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, you want to take a quick break and then come back and do the plot?
Sounds good, sir.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are breaking down the plot of That Thing You Do. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on us. That is a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service that you're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and we are now going to break down the 1996 film, That Thing You Do, by doing the thing that we do, which is a thing that we have done to do. I lost it towards the end. Anyway.
You have it.
All right, so Sean, break it down. What year does this movie start?
This movie takes place in 1964 in the small town of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Do you think, how long do you think this movie actually lasts, like time-wise? That's always a fun idea, like during movies. Like, how long do you think this goes for?
A couple months.
I would say, I would say a year at least. They're filming a movie.
I would. Yeah, but I can only compare it to, and this is why I think, again, this is because of the Beatles thing. How much the Beatles did in the singular year of 1964 is incredible. Mm-hmm. Between the first trip to America, where they did New York City, they did DC, they did Miami, and that was only a week. They did the movie Hard Day's Night also in 1964. They did another tour in 64. So, I mean, this movie, I mean, I agree with you. In essence, it sounds like it should have taken like a year in terms of how long it would be, but I think it's only like a couple months. Because, okay. I mean, the whole definition of the movie is there's such a one-hit wonder that this song just takes off and, you know, and they just really get rushed into the celebrity life so quickly that they want to take advantage of it.
I'm going to say 6 months to a year.
Nah, that's fair. I think so. They make a nod to the Beatles multiple times in this movie. So it takes place continuity-wise in the Beatles exist in this movie.
Right.
They make a few points about it, whereas like reporters asking them, you know, are you trying to look like the Beatles? Do you want to look like the Beatles? The father, you know, saying, you know, someone saying, how many people do you think are watching this show right now? And the father goes, well, how many people watch the Beatles on Ed Sullivan? So Beatles have occurred. The Beatles have hit America. So this is probably summer of 64, and it goes till probably holidays plus. Yeah, so 6 months sounds about right.
All right. So it takes place in 1964. We got Guy Patterson, an aspiring jazz drummer.
Yes, sir.
And he is he's recruited by Jimmy Mattingly and Lenny Hayes to perform at the local talent show because stupid Chad broke his arm.
Chad broke his arm.
What was it? Wasn't he like jumping over the pay things? Like
he was jumping over
that. And you just see him in the. I love background comedy. It always makes me laugh. And he's just in the background just doing something stupid while they're all like, well, the dialogue. So the way that they do the scene is the two main characters are in the forefront. So you're following their movements and their dialogue. And in the background, you just see Chad jumping over the pay things for parking. And just suddenly he eats it.
He falls. And the bass player just walks up to them and goes, "Hey guys, Chad fell down."
All right, you go. I'm giggling now. Go.
Sorry. Okay, so they recruit Guy, and Guy is not that interested in wanting to do it, but they're just like, listen, it's just for this one night. There's a talent show going on in the town. You know, the winners get $100, something like that, split, you know, four ways. So he agrees. He goes to practice with the band. And out of something he says, they come up with the idea that the name of the band should be The Wonders. However, they should spell it like one, as in the number one, O-N-E, Durs. And there's this funny little back and forth going like, no, it's The Wonders. What you see? O-N-E. He goes, I got it. It looks like the O-Neaters. You know, and so that's a running joke for the first half hour, 45 minutes of the movie, is that everybody calls them the O-Neaters when it's be The Wonders. Mm-hmm. They are practicing the song, That Thing You Do. We hear it early on in the movie as a ballad.
Right.
In a slow version, which I think would still be a good song. But then they get to the concert and Guy starts them off, and he starts immediately
too fast
hammering the drums as if this is, nope, this is a full blood rock song, pop song. And yeah, there's just, it's a great scene where they're just kind of trying to catch up to the beat and singing. And then you kind of witness as they really get a hang of it and they're like, ah, okay, we've got something good here.
You know, let's another song going in real life that was like that? You remember the song Cheerleader? Like the, oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Originally, that was a ballad. And for the radio release, they did a sped up version and it exploded. So
it's caught fire.
Yeah. So they end up winning, though, the talent show.
Yes. They win the talent show. They are, I think, recruited by, I think, like a pizza place, you know, down by the airport. And that's where they play for a couple nights a week and gather a crowd, get more fans. They decide they're going to make a record. So they end up making a record of That Thing You Do with another song on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell them off. They find a new manager. Well, not a new manager. They find a manager who says to them, listen, I will get the song on the radio. I will get you guys public, you know, concerts.
But change your name, for the love of God.
Say that again?
But change your name, for the love of God.
So then the first one doesn't, he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He's like, eh,
it's not until Tom Hanks gets on there.
But we have that great scene where Liv Tyler is, you know, they're all listening. They all got headphones on because they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And you finally hear the, you know, the drums start and everybody freaks out and they're all like running to meet up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up in the guy's store, where it's an appliance store, and they put on all the different radios in the store and playing the same song at the same time. So it's a fun moment.
Yeah. So after they get on Pennsylvania radio, they get booked on a rock and roll showcase in Pittsburgh, but that's where the cringe scene in the entire movie comes in.
Oh yeah. They just everything that can go wrong goes wrong.
And the biggest thing that goes
to work.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is the lights for a guy.
Yeah. Yep.
So the lights are too bright. So Guy's trying to play and he ends up just knocking over everything. Like it goes horribly.
Yeah.
But
so that's when we are introduced to Tom Hanks as Mr. White, who is the one of the managers in the Playtone music label.
And he decides to not only become their manager with a contract, he also rebrands them. He makes them The Wonders, the official W-O-N-D-E-R-S, and has them all wearing matching suits. Guy always wears sunglasses, and they end up playing the Playtone tour of the Midwestern State Fair, and they want Faye to join the tour in maintaining their wardrobe. So they all hit the road.
We do hit the road, and we get some great, you know, montages of them, you know, playing the fair, meeting other musicians in that Playtone label. So there's like a kind of like a Frank Sinatra type singer, a crooner, who is like the host of the show. You meet him, you meet another band who's very similar to like the Supremes. So it's like it's a cross between Motown and like Capitol Records, stuff like that. It's a very homage to those. And the song just it's an homage to the Beatles, where the Beatles would go out on tour with their songs and they'd be like the B list, you know, like I'm for example Please Please Me, which was their first number one hit in England. You know, it starts off and then by the end of the tour they became the A group and they had to surpass the more known talent who, you know, is just not drawing the fans as much. And that's very similar to what's happening with the Wonders.
Right. So during the tour, they're also, like you said, they're meeting new people. They're getting better. They're getting more popular. So they get sent to Los Angeles to do publicity, including radio and film appearances. Again, same thing that you mentioned, like the Beatles did. And it's not until the Hollywood Television Showcase that things start to come apart. TB doesn't show up. Like, he disappears. I think, doesn't he go enlist?
He enlists, but he ends up, he said he was going to enlist, but he ends up going to Disneyland.
Yep. And let's see. So he gets replaced with Wolfman. Guy is completely hungover because he's a guy. He was partying with the older jazz guy.
Yeah. He went to a jazz club and was just having a good time.
Jimmy's vomiting because he's a bitch. I'll say it. I hate Jimmy in this movie. I hate him.
But anyway, he's an asshole.
He's terrible. You know. But like, he's super passionate. He's super serious about the music and all that stuff. Lenny's
the one that's like, he's the one that keeps going like, guys, when are we going to get in the studio and make more music? And they're all riding the high of just being famous
celebrities. Yeah.
He's the only one that's going like, no, we need to like, continue
what about the music, guys?
To grow our craft.
Yeah. So they end up doing their performance, and during the performance, they each get captions like, you know, like, Shades, he's
also
a cool guy. Yeah. But when it gets to Jimmy, it reads, careful girls, he's engaged. And you hear it, you see him hear it, and you see him like glare at the camera. And apparently he thinks that Faye did it, but it's more implied that White did it.
Yeah.
So, and he literally, I think like the two of them have a huge fight and end up breaking up because he's like, I have no intention of ever proposing to you. So the next day, TB's still missing, and now Lenny's missing too because he's very involved with his new lady friends. Yeah. But so, and Jimmy starts being even worse. He wants to just do his original songs. And, you know, Mr. White's like, you have like a contract. You have to do the things that you signed for. And Jimmy ends up quitting. And Guy's the only one left. Womp, womp, womp.
You just see it on his face, too. He was like, what the hell just happened?
I know. It's wild. And like Mr. White, Tom Hanks, takes it all in stride. He's like, this shit happens in the movie business. Like, it's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
Or not the movie business, just, the music. You know what I mean.
He's seen it before. The one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So Guy stays for a little bit longer. And then the fictional jazz pianist, Del Paxton, who's like, you know, Guy's like Guy. Like, he's, oh, this is the guy, and I'm the guy. So, like, let's be guys together.
He's a guy.
Oh, look at that guy. Yeah, man. I don't know what that was. I think it was a Family Guy joke, but anyway. So, they end up, you know, like, hanging out and recording, but and Del asks Guy to stay in Los Angeles to record a jazz album instead, which is nice. So, Guy goes back to the hotel, and he tells Faye that, like, hey, I'm going to stay here and play jazz. And she's like, I'm going back to Erie, Pennsylvania because I'm a small town girl with hopes and dreams. But it can't happen. It gets Hallmarky at this point. So Faye's like literally about to get into a cab, and Guy out of nowhere chases her down. And he's like, I'm actually in love with you this whole time. And they start making out. I feel like the extended cut would do a lot better to justify that love story because it comes out of left field.
I think it's, well, you sense it throughout the movie.
I shouldn't sense things during a movie. I sensed that Batman versus Superman was going to change the world, and here we are.
Don't tell me you didn't watch this movie going like, oh, those two are going to end up together.
If they're with lazy writing, yes. Oh my God, it's too predictable. Way too predictable. I did not feel that at all during the actual movie.
Okay. You're watching a different movie than me.
You're a different movie. Apparently, there's a totally different movie where all of this is better written. That's just my opinion.
I don't know about that, but okay.
An extra 40 minutes and part of that screen time is building their relationship. I think that would have been very helpful for the movie. But I'm sure it was a pacing issue more than anything else. So they finally make out, and now they're in love, and it's totally going to work out for them in the long term because nothing bad ever is going to happen to these two. And there's an epilogue that reveals that Jimmy becomes a record producer. Lenny is single, and he's a hotel and casino manager in Nevada. TB did sign up for, he did enlist, and he went to war in Vietnam, and he earned a Purple Heart. Then he worked construction in Orlando, Florida. Guy and Faye, damn it, I forgot that they do have a happy ending. They're married with four children, and Guy teaches jazz composition in their own music conservatory. Shut up, Guy. Stupid. And that's
good for Guy.
No, not good for Guy. I disagree. Guy did not deserve any of this stuff.
Wow.
I'm kidding. He's fine. All right. So now that we have gone through all this, let's talk. The main characters in this movie are arguably Guy, Faye, and Jimmy. They're the ones that kind of get the most emotional development. The rest just kind of are there, and they have their own subplots and everything. But really, the ups and downs of the emotional scale go to those three. What do you think about the triangle that becomes those three?
Again, and you're not wrong when you say that the love between Guy and Faye is really, really small implications or throughout the movie. Like, I think it's Tom Hanks' character that
points it out,
insinuates to her, because he notices immediately that Jimmy is not the guy for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can tell that he's very into the music. He's very into another artist who they meet in the Playtone, the Playtone label. And he just implies, he's like, well, what about Guy? And she's like, oh, Guy, he's a good guy. He's great.
He's Guy.
You know, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I think he's older than them, Guy. I don't, like, you never find that out, but no. I kind of sense that Guy was, like, a little older than them, maybe. I don't know, but. But he kind of had that, like, he seems to be the loner type, because they weren't, like, friends back in Erie. They just were kind of, like, they knew of each other, it seemed like, so.
They knew of each other.
Knew of each other. Indeed. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's, I love the character of Guy, because I just think it's a great idea, just watching a guy who had no intentions of doing what he ended up doing becomes this, I guess you could say, sex symbol in a way, because he really is like the symbol of the band with sunglasses and all that stuff. And then it all gets taken away from him, but he still, you know, lives to have a good life and do what he likes to do with the jazz music.
I do think that the name of Guy is also a little lazy writing, because, you know, he's a guy. Like, he's a guy like you and me. It's like when in Family Guy, when Brian's writing his story. All right, main character, Norm Hill, because he's just a normal guy. Like that, like it makes me think of that. But yeah, I do agree. He definitely, he's the heart of the film for the most part. And I think he does a really good job. Now let's talk about the soundtrack for this movie, because I know you love this soundtrack. That thing you know is one of the greatest movie songs, or like songs for a movie of all time. I'll say it.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it perfectly encapsulates the tone of the time that the song was supposed to come out, with the, you know, pop rock six of the early 60s, you know, kind of not Beach Boys, but like that whole, I'm trying to think of another band that was around at that time that's American. But again, it's an homage to Beatles,
the Beach Boys. Yeah.
Herman's Hermits, the
Beastie Boys,
Dave Clark Five, you know, like all of those boy bands that just imploded and came, not imploded, exploded.
Oh my God, are they okay?
Yeah, exploded into the culture, you know, within that 60 to 64 range.
I like, yeah.
Yeah, That Thing You Do is great. But I honestly like all the songs in this movie. I mean, I have the track listing right here. The opening song of the movie, called Loving You Lots and Lots, is a very like 50s, you know, feel to it, but it just fits perfectly in the opening theme. Little Wild One, which you hear them sing at the pizza place early on in the movie. Again, good beat, you know. The Dance With Me Tonight, I think, is my second favorite song, and that's the one that Steve Zahn sings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he actually sings. That's him singing.
Good for him. Good for him.
So, you know, and that's a great song. You got All My Only Dreams, which is like that's the slow song that Jimmy keeps pushing just to record, because that's his song. He really likes that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song at the end of the movie, the one that's playing during the credits, is also another good one.
Yeah.
So I think all the songs are very catchy in this movie.
It's definitely definitely top five in terms of movie soundtracks.
Yeah, it's a really good listen to soundtrack. I really, and then it's got some instrumental stuff later on in the soundtrack. But yeah, it is. It's up there, I think.
For
a movie that's not like a musical, if you get my drift, like it's a solid soundtrack.
All right. So who'd win in a fight?
Yep.
The Wonders or the Beatles?
Oh, come on. The Beatles.
Jeez. You think the Beatles would win? They have Ringo. What's he going to do?
Oh, don't be knocking Ringo.
All right, who'd win in a fight?
That's a cop out.
All right, who'd win in a fight then? Faye from this movie or Yoko Ono? Yeah.
Yoko Ono's tough.
Man. I feel like it was a lot of psychological stuff with Yoko Ono. I feel like Faye can throw a punch. Mostly because I feel like Liv Tyler could throw a punch. You know, like she'd be like, punch him in the face and be like, come and claim them. That's another movie she did. That's from Lord of the Rings. Don't worry about it, everyone.
Look at you. Oh, listen, everybody. Paul's setting up our Lord of the Rings month coming up soon.
I'll do the original trilogy. I will do the original trilogy. I still have yet to see any of the Hobbit movies. And I like Martin Freeman. I really, really do. But God, no. You know what I found out? Because it was my birthday recently. The Hobbit was published on my birthday.
Yeah, and then I think a day later was Bilbo Baggins' birthday.
Oh, so stupid. Damn universe. Just messing with me like that. Anywho. So, really quick, Star City rating for that thing you do.
I give it a 4.
You're going to give it a 4. All right. I think I'm going to give it a 3.5 just because, like, I know for you it's like one of your movies, and I know that's going to raise it up a little bit, and I like to just not agree with you all the time.
At all. You never like to agree with me.
Also, it's a good movie. Like, if it's ever on, I never see this movie on TV. It's not on any streaming services. You can rent it on Prime, but that's about it. I already checked.
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer.
I already checked. I know you're already like looking at it. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm already looking. I'm like, I don't know. Let's see about that.
Paul was right. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So with that, we have our Fan Feedback Friday for this week. All right. This week, what is a movie that is, if someone doesn't like it, it's considered a red flag? All right. So basically, if somebody
says, this is a great question.
I know. I had some good answers. So basically, if somebody says they don't like this movie, they may not be for you. All right, we have Back to the Future, The Lion King, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I wonder who said that one.
Oh, yeah. The Goonies, Stand By Me.
Stand By Me is surprising. Yeah. I never thought of that as a movie that's like a red flag movie, but hey, solid answer.
Star Wars. I mean, that's subject to debate. But if you say, I don't like The Rise of Skywalker, I might become your best friend. And The Godfather. It insists upon itself.
Yeah, it's tough because I would think Godfather's not a movie that everyone will like. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I will agree.
A relationship but
it's one of those ones that like if you don't like the third one, that's one thing. But if you don't like the first or second one, we got to have a talk.
Because this is movies they haven't seen or they don't like.
Don't like.
Okay, never mind then. You're right. Then all those answers are fine.
All right, I appreciate you.
I thought it's they hadn't seen it. I thought that was the original word as you put. But
no,
I
even reread it, you know, out loud on the podcast. It's fine. It's fine. I don't listen to me either.
I listen to you. That we established.
Yeah, you know, that's why we talk over each other. That and Zoom. But anyway.
It's also what you cut out every 5 seconds. Your mouth moves and nothing comes out, which is I wish what would happen in real life.
Wow, savage. I guess my birthday's over. But anyway, we had so much fun this weekend.
Oh, happy birthday, Paul.
No, it's too late. It's like a week ago now. And you were just so mean.
Everybody out there who's listening, please comment on the release. Happy birthday.
Please don't.
To the main guy.
I don't.
That is Mr. Paul Magliotta.
No, don't use my whole name. But anyway. So we have, if you guys are looking to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, super easy. Just go to our Facebook page. Every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you'll find Fan Feedback Friday. So make sure you like, comment, and you know, go answer it. It's always a lot of fun, and it's always good for discussion. You can also find more of our content. We're on all the social medias. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just make sure you guys type in The Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But Sean, this was a great episode. It was a great suggestion, and you're a great guy.
I know I am.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like guy. You're the guy.
I'm the guy.
Oh, wait. Who'd win in a fight? Guy from this movie or guy from Free Guy? Ah. Sean, yeah, you got to think about that one.
Oh, man, what do you got to do this to me?
I think Free Guy.
I got to give it a guy from Free Guy.
Yeah, even with just the Captain America shield, because that's still one of the greatest cameos of all time.
Look. Does he have all of the extra abilities in Free Guy?
I would say, let's say for the sake of this fight, no.
And Guy from the Wonders.
Really? You think Guy from the Wonders can throw a punch?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He's got drummer's hands. I'll give you that one. He just hits him with the sticks. Done. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Peace out.